So traveling, it can be an endeavor sometimes to go a long distance and see something completely different. But in North America, I think we have a lot of opportunities to see something completely different within a two-hour flight. And oftentimes we neglect to see that. We neglect to open the drapes and look out the window to something completely different that's just beyond the horizon, that's really seems so close, and it really is. And one of those places is a place I actually lived for a while in my late teens and early 20s, which is Montreal, Quebec, Canada. I'm Hugh Atchison, and this is The Passenger from iHeartRadio. I travel a lot for work as a chef. I'm really interested in what makes these places tick. So I'll give you my take on where to go, what to do, what I find intriguing, and we'll also talk about immersing yourself in the culture and what it means to go to a place as a visitor, as a passenger. Later on, we're going to get Paul Harry Toussaint on the phone. He's the chef at Agricole, a Haitian restaurant in Montreal, and I'll get feedback on what I've done and where I should have gone. It's a travel show. My name's Hugh Atchison. Let's do this. Montreal is a two-hour flight from Atlanta. I live in Athens, so, you know, three-hour travel time with the drive to the airport. And it is an amazingly international and sort of chic and artistic and interesting and pedestrian city. You know, when we talk about a timeline of Montreal and in a lot of ways the history of Canada, you talk about the Iroquois people who were the indigenous natives and Indians of that region. They occupied the island of Montreal, and up comes Cartier. Cartier sort of is the first white person to sort of meet with them and figures this out, tries to do a settlement there. Doesn't really work. Champlain later on does a settlement there. Then later on in 1832, the city of Montreal is actually founded. Then the real game changer is a canal built. So industry can come in, and it becomes one of the main grain hubs from the interior of the U.S. and Canada, where along the St. Lawrence, where all the grain was coming from farms and would be put on boats and shuttled upriver. And the St. Lawrence is just this opening to the Atlantic that's a massive, massive economic hub and very important and a beautiful river. And that's the Lachine Canal was built. Then we have two marquee points in Quebecois and Montreal history. The Montreal Expo, the exposition in 1967 was thought to be the preeminent expo of its time. And then the 1976 Olympics, Nadia Comaneci and people like that, was a really seminal thing. And all that campus of crazy Olympic buildings is still there. It looks kind of like it was designed by some blind Soviet architect in some ways, but it is all there. And some of it's pretty amazing, and some of it's kind of stark brutalist. In the late 70s and 80s, we see the rise of Parti Québécois, separatist movement and nationalism, and that really marked a really independent spirit within Quebec to identify their culture and protect it. A lot of laws within Montreal and Quebec proper to protect the French language and the French way of life, and you know, separatism from the rest of Canada is still a heartbeat, but it's not what it was in the 70s and 80s. So now we come to Montreal now, which is this amazing artistic hub that's really nearby. And there are a couple of things that you really need to know about Montreal, because it's a great place to go that will be blow your mind with how European and interesting it is. When I was young in Montreal, I lived in the Plateau, and the Plateau is kind of a area that straddles the mountain and then goes all the way over to past Saint-Denis, and that's a north-south street, and then Saint-Laurent is sort of in the center, and that's a north-south street, and there were bars and different shops and bakeries and bagel places, and it just, it totally changed everything about my way of life in a number of years, from how do you shop, and you get your bags out, and you get your backpack on, and you go and buy coffee at Vieux Rue Up, and you go and buy salami at just down the street, and then you go to the butcher, and you buy a pork chop, and you go to Quatre Frères, which is this amazing produce store, and you buy your produce, and then you go up the street to Boulangerie Saint-Laurent, and you buy bread and rye bread, and then you go up to Fairmont Bagel, and you buy bagels, and you go to the cheese shop. And it, that European idea of shopping, and maybe it's not just European, maybe it's just worldwide, but it doesn't, you know, it's not big box supermarket, and it transcended everything, but it brought this joy and sort of joie de vivre and to shop like that. So what do I do with all this food that I've accumulated on this wonderful walk around the city? Well, at one of my part-time jobs outside of cooking was also being a nanny. So if I didn't have a two-year-old or a one-and-a-half-year-old with me in a baby carriage, I would probably just go back to my apartment. And yeah, I had roommates and I had a lot of friends. And, you know, I'd been cooking professionally for, at that point, since I was 15. So, you know, 6 years. So I knew a fair bit about food and how to work with it. But I became the place where people would come over and give a couple of bucks and I'd make some food. And it taught me so much about necessity and sustenance and how to feed yourself and how to make carbonara for a crowd. And all those things sort of go directly into still what I do every day. So Montreal left such an imprint on me. And even in a 4-day stint, it'll leave an impression on you too. So going back now, and, you know, I went to university there for like 2 years, and I think I went to about 10 classes, dropped out of university, and I'd been cooking the whole time. But I really got to see Montreal in so many ways, hanging out on the mountain and in bars on Saint-Laurent, living in the plateau and having roommates and living on the cheap. And Montreal is that type of place where you can still do that. I used to go to Montreal Expos games. Montreal Expos are now the Washington Nationals, and they played at the Big O, which was the old Olympic Stadium. And the bilingual chants of the vendors in the stadium always struck me as interesting. It's like, Shinshu hot dog, beer. And that's how they would sell things. And I would play a lot of snooker. I'd go up to Blue Montreal, which is Mount Royal Street, and go to a place called, it was then there, and now it's moved and gotten larger, but it was called La Binerie, which is famous for, there are a couple of iconic Quebecois dishes, you know, most notably poutine. But this was févrolard, which are navy beans slowly cooked and braised and with maple syrup. And it's kind of the baked beans of Canada. And it's got a lot of pork lard in there. And it's just a seminal moment. And at the pool hall, we'd order these Western omelet sandwiches on a white bread, toasted, and drink a Molson beer and play pool. And then, you know, at night we'd go and hang out at the bar. We used to go to this bar on Saint-Laurent, which is still there, called Biftec, which was an old Portuguese steakhouse at one point, and really had reverted being at the time, a relatively hipster bar. So I'd hang out, and Rufus Wainwright would be DJing, and Melissa Auf-Damar would be hanging out, and Nirvana would come by when one of their first tours and things like that. So it was an interesting place to be. In Old Montreal, which is sort of south of the plateau and south of Sherbrooke, you've got some really identifiable, amazing buildings, such as the Notre Dame Cathedral, which was originally built in 1672, but was way too small. And so in 1872 to 1879, it was rebuilt in this amazing Gothic revival, Old Montreal monolith of a church. And you see that type of architecture that's so important everywhere around Montreal. All the pedestrian and all the neighborhoods in Old Montreal, and if you talk about the Mile End and Plateau, and even going in that sort of center of Montreal, really evokes the books of, St. Urban's Horseman and all those books about Montreal that showcase these three-level houses and townhouses that are all connected in a block, and they're all brick way back when they were wood, but they got really good at using stone and brick. And so each floor is an individual house in itself, and they kind of go way back, and there's a cutaway in the back, so you have windows in the rear part of it. But that's pretty much every house in that region of Montreal, and it's kind of amazing to see that consistency of architecture. But they don't all look the same because they're all different colors and things like that. So, but going to Montreal these days is easy, and you know, you can get 3 or 4 direct flights a day. You know, Delta is really easy from Atlanta, or really nationwide to get directly to Montreal. You usually are going to fly on an Embraer or a Canadair type plane, Bombardier, with the when you walk past first class, that's got the single seat, and then the other side it's got the double seat, and that's a little amazingly fast style of plane that'll get you up there in a jiffy. When you land, you're going to be landing at either Dorval or Mirabel Airport. Mirabel was built by the government years ago in Canada. I don't know exactly when it was built, and I can look it up, but I don't know why it was built. It must be a strange tax thing because it's in the middle of nowhere and takes you an hour and a half to get back to Montreal. So fly into Dorval. It's much easier, 15 minutes then into town. Because there's this, you know, you're in the Laurentian Mountains at this point, or very close to the Laurentian Mountains. On the other side, the mountain range is going to be the Gatineaus, close to Ottawa, where I'm from. But so it's just amazing country right outside of Montreal. And if you go south, you're very quickly in the United States. That's how close Montreal is to the border. It really is. Montreal is right on the river of St. Lawrence. It's an island in the St. Lawrence. And on the other side is a very brief amount of Canada, and then you're going to hit the American border. I've been staying in the last number of trips I've done, at either, if I'm feeling spendy, at the Ritz-Carlton, which is a stunning, stunning, beautiful Ritz-Carlton right on Sherbrooke, or the Intercontinental, which is just off Sherbrooke. The thing about Canada these days and traveling to places like Montreal or Vancouver or Ottawa or Toronto or St. John or Fogo Island is imagine if you got 25 cents back for every dollar you spent. That's essentially the exchange rate right now. And really, things aren't noticeably more expensive on the valuation in Canada. So your dollar Canadian is costing you 75 cents American. So your money's going a really long way right now. So it's a prime time to get up and go to Montreal. There's a big bagel debate in Montreal, and there are two main bagel companies who've kind of long been at quiet way war, sometimes in detente. But it's Fairmount Bagel and Saint-Viateur Bagel. If you haven't had a Montreal bagel, it's very different from what you know as those overblown, puffy things, what your New York-style bagels. Montreal bagels are, well, in my case, I in my opinion, I think they're far superior. They're more, they're denser, they're smaller, but in mass, but they're kind of larger. And they're cooked in wood-burning ovens on these really long wooden planks. They shovel them up like a large spatula, and then they put that into the oven, and they flip it over, and they lie on the bottom of this wood hearth, and then they poke it back under or beside them and snap underneath the bagels and lift them out. And I used to go to bagel shops at like 4 o'clock in the morning because they'd still be producing for the next day and they were open for sale. And you buy six in a steaming paper bag and take them home with a smear of cream cheese and toast them to your delight. And they're an amazing thing. Fairmount Bagel and Saint-Viateur Bagel are both, to my mind, they're very similar styles, but they've just argued for space in the market for a really long time. There's a similarly important Jewish community within Montreal, and that's given us great things like Schwartz's smoked meat, which is an amazing smoked meat classic emporium on Saint-Laurent. There's also Beauty's, which is a great sort of breakfast and lunch place for bagels and lox and eggs and things like that. And Beauty's is probably my favorite breakfast place in the entire world. And it just evokes so much and is so good. And it just feels, you just feel like you're in the right place. And it's one of those places that's been around for eons, but has just pertinent and interesting graphic design. and the patriarch of beauties recently passed away about a year ago. But the place still lives in infamy and will be continued in good hands for a long time. Back to Schwartz's. Schwartz's, you go and you have, you know, a beautiful, amazing smoked meat sandwich on steamed, seeded rye bread with yellow mustard, and the smoked meat is cut hot out of the steamer. And, you know, smoked meat's kind of like a pastrami, and it's just, it's cured for a long time and then lightly smoked and then set in a steamer, and you get it in medium fat or lean or fatty, depending on how you like it. And it's just, it's stacked high on this classic deli style, and then you get coleslaw or various sides with it, and the waiter comes over and he's worked there for 55 years. And it's a handwritten ticket that's delivered to you. And it's just, it, you know, it compares to Montreal, or Montreal delis in that way compared to New York delis in some way. But the key is, you know, New York delis have a menu that's about 18 pages long. And Montreal just doesn't believe in that. It's like you do one thing well, and that's what you do. And that's the beauty about that singular idea in food that I think is long lived and is very it's so pure in its idea, but it's sort of, it's contemporary too now, which is really interesting. There's an amazing selection of, I like papers and pens and doodling and all that, and hence this whole show is about the lists I write and the places I go. But there's a Japanese paper shop called Papier Japonais, which literally translates to Japanese paper. Amazing paper and pen store. There's another one on Sherbrooke called Papeterie Nota Bene, which has the most singularly most interesting collection of pens that I've ever seen. Not expensive pens, just really interesting pens and pencils and paper and envelopes and all these things. There's an amazing coffee shop, which is kind of the Mac Daddy and OG coffee shop right next to Papeterie Nota Bene, which is called Piccolo. And Piccolo is the place to go for a really beautiful espresso. There's tons of new coffee shops in Montreal that have propped up in the last 5 years or so, but that's amazing. But Sherbrooke is a beautiful street to wander down because you're going to go right past McGill University. You're going to go towards the museum, the Fine Arts Museum, Musée des Beaux-Arts. And it's just an amazing stroll. But all of Montreal is that way in a lot of ways. I think you want to wear your walking shoes because you're going to get out there. If you go to Old Montreal, there's an amazing restaurant that's been around for a while called Olive and Gourmando. That's great. If you're in the Plateau, recently the New York Times did a piece on this restaurant, and which I've been to many, many, many times, which is called L'Express. L'Express is the best bistro outside of France in North America. It is classic. It's pure. It's simple. Amazing wine program. Beautiful gherkins and mustard that comes to the table first, and then you get that. You know, you can get a foie gras plate if you don't have trouble with that, or you can get a beautiful, like, mussels and all these different really classic French dishes. They're just amazingly done and beautiful. There's an amazing farmer's market, Jean Talon Market, which is more north, but worth your time to go to. There's also a really contemporary sort of movement of restaurants that started years ago. I worked at a restaurant called Buena Notte, and right across the street was a restaurant called The Globe. And when I was working at Buena Notte, there were two guys working at The Globe who were the founders of Joe Beef. They've done an amazing job at sort of creating a bit of an empire more in the region of Little Burgundy. And Little Burgundy was just a sort of as a really old school neighborhood when I was there. We lived in the Plateau, and, you know, 20 minutes away was Little Burgundy. But Little Burgundy has really been the home of so many great restaurants and what we know as Montreal restaurants in the press these days. So starting with Joe Beef, then they opened up Liverpool Tavern. Then they opened up Vin Papillon. From there, the chef from Vin Papillon opened up Mon Lapin. All of those restaurants in that family and then the subsequent offshoots of it are amazing, worth every dime that you will ever spend there. And the reason is that they've got that authenticity that you look for in great restaurants that you rarely, rarely find. Like you walk into these restaurants and you just, it just feels right. And the food is rich and it's fun and challenging in some ways, but it's technically really well done and it's really, really beautiful places. There's some other really amazing restaurants that are kind of really important. Au Pied de Cochon, which is one of the OGs of sort of the new movement of Quebecois food, long known for crazy foie gras dishes and things like that. The chef from Au Pied de Cochon also has a place out in the country called Cabane à Sucre, which is a old maple sugar shack that is open seasonally. And if you ever get to Montreal and can get a drive out there, which is about 45 minutes away, you're going to enjoy every moment of Cabane à Sucre. When the passenger comes back from break, we're going to get Paul Harry Toussaint on the phone. He's the chef at Agricole, a Haitian restaurant in Montreal. He is a Haitian who moved to Montreal when he was 18 years old. And he'll tell you about his many passions, because he's a very passionate man. But really, he's going to talk about why Montreal is just so important and why you should get there. I'm Hugh Acheson, and this is The Passenger from iHeartRadio. When you look at Montreal in a place of what's the future of Montreal, I think you're seeing a lot of gentrification there. I think in going back, it's very different from when I went to school there 20-some-odd years ago, almost 30 years ago. God, I'm old. What happened? But I think that the places that are seminal are still there and worth every penny. There's a place called Maison Publique that's great. There is a Daniel Boudou restaurant in the Ritz-Carlton that's amazing. But, you know, you can see there's so many different styles of food. There's a lot of Greek food on Duluth Street in the Plateau region. Kind of some of that's a bit touristy. If you go south, just entering into Old Montreal, you're going to go into Chinatown. You're going to find a lot of really great noodle shops and things like that. There's a place called Le Bremner that's really good. There's a beautiful restaurant called Le Comptoir. So, you know, there's just so many places to go and so many excuses to go to a place like Montreal. It's just, I think you just need to really plan about what you like weather-wise. Because if you're talking about a place that sees four definitive seasons in a year, it'll freeze your feet off in winter, and it's very hot and not air-conditioned abundantly in summer. So in between is amazing. But summer does have great things. There's the Jazz Festival, which is amazing. There's the Comedy Festival, which is unreal as well, and is one of the most important comedy festivals in the United States or in North America. And then in spring's a really special time in Montreal, because if you've been cooped up in an apartment in negative 20 degree weather for 3 to 4 months, and you go outside and the snow's melted and showing off all the dog shit underneath it, on top of the little bits of grass in the park. But then there are tulips coming up between those piles. There's a lifting and a lifting of spirit and a sort of drive of emotion that makes you just want to go out and enjoy and dance around. And that's Montreal in the spring. And so it's, to me, go in the spring or go in the summer, and it's a beautiful time. You'll have an amazing time all the time in Montreal, but those are the times to really go. When I was growing up, the Canadians, Montreal Canadiens, the hockey team used to play in the Forum, the old Forum, and now they play in the Molson Center. I think it's called the Molson Center. And we used to go buy, you could buy $5 or $10 seats, but weren't seats. They were standing room only between the sections. So you'd get there and there'd be a big lineup and you'd buy your ticket and you rush in and you drape your coat over the part of the railing, and that would automatically save it in the system that they had of the sort of kind, empathetic system of crafting your space within a very busy hullabaloo crowd. But going to a Montreal Canadiens game is a seminal experience if you do go in the winter or spring. Hockey season starts in October. and it seems to end in October. It seems like it's almost all year round now. The playoffs last forever. And Montreal is maybe not the team they once were right now, but it is, you want hockey culture? Go there. The museum, the Fine Arts Museum on Sherbrooke is an amazing museum. So go there. Go for high tea at the Ritz because it's one of the most beautiful Ritzes in the world. And Saturday high tea in a place like that and then wandering down Sherbrooke afterwards is an amazing, amazing thing. Wander through the actual mountain, Montréal, in the park and go to the very top. And wander back down and watch the drum circles on a Sunday and things happening and then wander over to the plateau and have an espresso somewhere and then wander around and get some bagels. To me, it's just, it is Europe on your doorstep that's a two-hour flight away. But in the 20 years that I've lived there, 25 years that I've lived there ago, a lot of things have changed. So let's call somebody and figure out what's changed and what am I missing these days. So Montreal just has this amazing aura to it. And one of the big things about Canadian culture and Montreal is this amazing fabric of immigrants who come to places like Montreal and really make a really important mark on the culture there. And I'm going to call Paul Harry Toussaint, who's from Haiti originally, but is a chef in Montreal at Agricole. Agricole is a Haitian-inspired restaurant with an amazing rum program. And Paul Harry Toussaint came from Haiti when he was 18 to go to law school, dropped out of law school, and really went full on to be with his real passion for food. Paul, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I am excellent. I am excellent. How was Montreal?
Today is like, I think, one of the best days of the year because like we see like summer coming. We see the sun. Everyone is out. I know restaurant today going to be crazy. You know, people they're going to want to go out, eat outside, like see like, you know, the different, the air is different. It's like you want to. It's like an escape. It's like you're going into Caribbean culture now, you know?
Oh, after the winter, I find Montrealers like wear Speedos and bikinis when it's like 12 degrees Celsius because they're so excited about spring and summer.
Yes.
And it doesn't even have to have happened yet. They just, they get so excited. So to me, like Montreal has so many identifiable food things from bagel culture to Jewish food,
yes,
to, you know, Chinese food in Chinatown to amazing brasseries and beer culture. But to you, like coming from Haiti and living there since you're 18, identify what you think is like, where would you tell people to go to have a perfect Montreal experience for 3 hours? They're wandering through the streets. Where should they go? What should they eat?
It's hard.
There's so many choices. Like,
because this is the thing. There's too many choices. This is the first thing. Because people need to understand that we're in Montreal. All the community, like, they get connect together, you know? And it's like, I have to ask you what experience you want to do, you know? Montreal is Caribbean. Montreal is like Jewish. Montreal is Anglo. Montreal is African. Montreal is French. It's everything, you know? It depends, like, I will ask the person first, what is the first experience you did in Montreal? Or what is the other experience you did in the world? Me and Montreal, I will make you make like the world experience. You understand? It's like, because I can tell you, go to Agricole to party all night. You know, you finish to eat in the restaurant. After you go to the bar, you continue like to like, you know, to drink warm all night, you know? Or I can tell you, go to Toki because you want a fin cuisine, you know? Or go to Musso, you know? It's a fin cuisine. It's something different. It's like, and, or I can tell you, go to Montreal Plaza. Montreal Plaza for me is like, it's a restaurant, you know? It's, for me, it's one, I can say like it's the restaurant too in Montreal because like, you know, you get there, the cuisine, it's perfect. And after, at the same time, you know, you have like old school rap. You have everything. Like, we challenge one kid. We love Montreal. We want like to share people like what Quebec is, you know. There is a lot of experience. Or I can tell you, go to Damas, the Syrian restaurant that I love so much.
Where is Damas?
Damas is on, I think it's Van Horn.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like an Outremont. it's, for me, it's one of the best restaurants in town, you know. It's a Mediterranean cuisine, you know, and you have everything is cooked on charcoal. You have the smoky taste, like all the seafood grill there, all the rack of lamb. Oh, man. That's why I told you, it's hard. It's to tell people to pass the 3 hours, like, I need to know what type of experience you're looking for, you know. It's hard.
So where do you go for bagels? Fairmont or Sevillato?
I'm more fan of Sevillato. But I can't say no to Fairmont because I never go there. It's like, for me, when I find a spot that I love so much, it's like I don't try to go somewhere else.
But Montreal is big on that. They're big on supporting the places that they love. They are really important.
That's the thing. Like, you know, me, I choose, and just in corner of my house, I can walk like three, four minutes. I'm in one of the Sevillato. They got one in Saint-Michel because I'm living in Wozmo, you know, and they got one on Saint-Michel. I can walk there, you know,
yeah,
and just go get my bagel, you know, fresh. This is it. And having, like, you know, they have a type of salmon sauce that you can just mix it. They have some special drink, you know, like going with it, like, you know, orange or citrus thing like this. It's perfect. It's my life, you know. Every, like, Sunday morning, it's my thing, you know. I have to wake up, go there, get my bagel after, you know, my day starts, you know.
What's your favorite coffee shop in Montreal these days?
Ooh! I love to go to Off. I don't know, Off. You know Off?
No,
it's,
I don't know.
Okay. They have it's like a more pastry shop. It's like this guy is like a Jewish, you know. It's a mix of that. It's perfect. They're making like the best. Because me, I'm not a fan of coffee. I'm most a fan of pastry, you know. That's why, like, I have to go to a spot that is like the best pastry too. Because some spot, you have like the good coffee, but you don't have pastry. And there's another spot, Cafe San Gennaro.
San Gennaro. Okay.
It's 69 Rue Saint-Zotique. It's one of the best. Like there is good pastry, good beignet, good everything. Like you are there, like good chocolate. There's a lot of chocolate. You know, Italian love that kind of thing, like citrus, you know, and mixed with the chocolate. It's perfect. Because me, I'm Caribbean. I was like, I grew up in coffee and chocolate and citrus, you know. This is when I find a spot, they mix that, I'm happy, you know. It's my life.
So do you find that Montreal, is it in a really good place right now? Or is it, we're seeing a little bit of stuff with Anglophone, Francophone friction again that we hadn't seen in a number of years with signage and things like that. But is it overall in a good place?
But the first thing, you know, when we live in community, you're always going to have that, you know, some friction. But they meet on the same page for the culture, you know.
Right.
This is that because they love Montreal. They love Montreal for the culture. But, you know, at the same time, all the Francophone doesn't want to lose their language. Me, I'm a Francophone, you know. I don't want the city to lose like all this Francophone thing because it's a culture. You know, I grew up in it, you know. But at the same time, you know, this, like, it's more like, you know, when election coming, when you have all that. But after election, after all that, everything is like they put that aside and they start to think about how Montreal can be like beautiful, how Montreal can be better, you know. This is it, you know. And right now I find Montreal is a better place to live now. And you feel like the city grew up, you know. It's like some cities like New York. Now you find like New York is like too condensed, you know. It's like there is nothing else they can put in New York, you know. But in Montreal, you find like, you know, every year the city like gain a much of energy, you know. People, even people from Toronto leave Toronto now to come in Montreal because they love the cultural thing. Or they come party in Montreal because they find like Montreal is a better place to party. You know, I have a good friend. They told me they want to buy 2 condos. One in Montreal for the festival, for the summer in Montreal. One in the Caribbean Sea for the winter time. Because they tell me, like, you know, Montreal is a perfect place, like, where everyone meet, everyone making everything perfect.
I think I want their bank account to do that. That sounds great. I would do that easily. So there's a dining critic who's writes for the Gazette named Leslie Chesterman, and she was putting up on Instagram some interesting stuff yesterday about some graffiti covered restaurants that had shut down a while ago. One of which I loved, called Hotel Herman. And that, you know, over 3 years ago it shut down, but still nobody's moved in there. And then there's a beautiful old French restaurant that closed down a number of years ago called La Lou, which is actually near, just north of Agricole. And it's just, I think it's like near, like on Saint-Henri or something like that, right? One of those streets, or Saint-Henri. So you see, I mean, are restaurants still good and viable? You see a lot of openings and things like that, but you see like Little Burgundy being very popular with all the Joe Beef type restaurants. Is the Plateau and the Gay Village, is it still supportive of restaurants? Do we see newer places coming on?
But the thing is, you know, restaurant is like, it's a passion thing first. The first thing you need to understand first is not money. First, you need to understand what you want to do. Well, you want to go, you know, it's like if you come right now in Montreal, just open like a French restaurant, I'm sure you're going to last maybe for 2 years, three years. But if you know, if you look at the city, all the city growing, like, you know, the vibe, you can make the French restaurant, but you need to understand, you need to bring a vibe. You're going to bring the Parisian vibe. You're going to bring, it's not only, now people not going out only for food. They're going out for an experience, you know? This is like, if you can bring them the experience, don't open a restaurant, because they're not only going out just to eat some plate and going home, you know?
Yeah, I think people want like authenticity. They want something real. They want to see the energy.
Yes.
But those are the great restaurants in Montreal.
They want to feel your passion. They want to see your love for what you're doing, what you bring to the table, you know? It's not only try to get their money. They want you to, like, you know, make them dream, you know? They're looking for a dream. This is it. You need to understand, like, when you have to change, you need to change. You can't only say, okay, I'm here for 20 years, I'm going to stay like this, I don't care. They have to just follow me. No, people are not here for that. People are here, like, you know, for, because they spend their money, you know? And everything right now, and you can see it, like, everything is more expensive, you know? Going out in a restaurant 10 years before, and right now, it's not the same thing, you know? You have to spend more money, and a lot of people are not making more money, you know? That's why you need
to bring them something special to make them special, spend the money, you know, there. Like, yeah.
Yes, this is it, you know? Like, that's why me, you know, I keep every year, I think about another thing, you know? My menu change, like for the terrace, you know? The patio of Agricole. Every year we change it. We're going to keep like the classic, but we're going to bring other cocktail. We're going to bring other type of food, like another experience, you know, art going to change, you know, everything, because there is an experience, you know, you need people to come back. It's not a big city like Toronto. Montreal is still like a small city, but when you have a client, you want it to be a fan, you know, you need it to be back at least like once a month, you know, but to make that, they need to feel special.
Yeah, people need to, for business owners and customers need to understand that we open up these places to have regulars and to be popular with people on a very regular basis. And that's really important to the bit, you know, to the business model that we set forward. So why do you want to stay in Montreal? I mean, you could move back to Haiti. You could get you taught down there for a long time in culinary. But what makes you want to stay in Montreal?
Me is like, I remember, okay, when I moved in Canada, I go in Ottawa first. But when I see Ottawa, I say myself, like, I don't see me in Canada for 10 years. Because I thought like Canada was that experience only, you know? When I moved to Montreal, yes, sometimes winter is hard, you know? You want to, it's just like when in winter is hard, I buy a ticket like for New Orleans or for Haiti. You know, I'm going to be happy. I know, like, you know, I'm going to have the carnival. But after this, Montreal, it's more like the multicultural, like, you know, thing, like making it like very different. Like I can see a lot of people right now say they are Montrealer. They are not Quebec. They are not Canadian. You know, they find themselves as a Montreal people because of the vibe of the culture. It's like you start in April, end of April, all the festivals start. in May. You know, you have Jazz Festival coming. You have Afro Festival coming after.
That's really interesting, though, that people do say they're Montrealers, because nobody says I'm a Torontonian. I mean,
no, you're not going to say that.
But you do say, you know, I'm a Parisian or I'm a New Yorker. And, you know, Montreal is in that status of city. It's such an exciting place that people feel like they belong to so much that they want to take the citizenship of the city.
Because there's a lot of things like you don't have to deal with, you know. It's like there's a lot of city. You find people like, you know, there is multicultural, yes, but everyone got a spot, you know. It's like if you want to have the best experience of Asian food, it's like before you will need to come like in Montreal, not, you know, when Montreal just start, you know. You need to come like in the east part, you know, to have that kind of experience. Everything was a bit like, you know, selectionate, you know. Everyone like staying desperate. Now, it's done. It's a mishmash. Like, you know, people, like, you know, get mixed, you know, everything, like, you know, is that me? We got our restaurant in the gay village, you know, and we, you know, we have the mix, like, everyone, gay people, like, you know, straight people, like, you know, trans people, everyone is there. They dance together. They party together. You know, we don't try to say, look, you need to stay in your corner. No, we don't have that right now in Montreal. People understand that. And they feel too. This is what the world need right now. You know, we need to get connect together. If we are not connected together, we're gonna get destroyed together too. Everyone have their energy to bring. Everyone have their, like, you know, knowledge to bring. Everyone have something to bring to make that world perfect.
But that's what Montreal is. Montreal is every shape and size, every different color. It's everyone. But it's in the true essence of community, they all get along. And that's the most important thing is community should be about understanding that everyone's different, but we all try and get along. And Montreal is very much like that. So I think in closing, I think what I want to get across to people always is Montreal is probably, to me, the most exciting city in North America that's so accessible and so closed and 2 hours away from so many other places, and that you just need to go. So, Paul, thanks a lot, man.
A pleasure.
I'm Hugh Atchison. You're listening to The Passenger from iHeartRadio. We'll be back after this quick break. I'm Hugh Atchison. This is The Passenger. One good way to prepare for a trip beyond packing your suitcase is through media. And for some recommendations, I'm going to hand it over to Janet Geddes, the owner and founder of Avid Bookshop in Athens, Georgia, a wonderful independent bookstore. Janet Geddes wanted to be sure to remind you that if you're going to check out her recommendations, to visit your local independent bookstore.
Like a lot of music fans, I've long since been a fan of Leonard Cohen. His music, especially his lyrics. And what I came to a little later were his poems and stories, many of which you can find online. He read them better than I ever could. But he was born and raised in Montreal. And I particularly enjoyed reading The Book of Longing, which has never gone out of print, but they have released some newer editions of it over the years. He truly loves where he's from, and as much as he traveled during his long career, he would come back to Montreal. It was a touchstone for him. His mom lived there alongside a park for a long time, and so he would go back home, get reconnected with the family, and then, of course, wander the streets of Montreal. Once in a reading, he described the magic of his childhood spent in a Montreal park, and he said, "The park nourished all the sleepers in the surrounding houses. It was the green heart. It gave the children dangerous bushes and heroic landscapes so they could imagine bravery. It gave the nurses and maids winding walks so they could imagine beauty." He was able to find such beauty even in stark images. As you know, the Montreal winters can be very tough, and he still is able to write about them with just such intense beauty and magic. It makes me want to visit the city even in the winter, as long as I'm dressed very warmly. He was always tuned into the pulse of life, what was going on just underneath the surface. And he also, at one point when traveling, said the following, which I can definitely identify with, and I'm sure that those of us who are frequent travelers can also agree with. He said, "You always have a feeling in a hotel room like you're on the lam." And I love that idea that you're out of your element, you're away from your home, and if you're a solo traveler, no one else knows where you are right in that moment. It almost as if you've run away from your regular life. So I would recommend anything by him, but if you are new to him, I would start with A Book of Longing, and then maybe cue up So Long, Marianne, perhaps my favorite song by him. One of my favorite novelists is named Emily St. John Mandel. I have been reading her since her debut novel, which is called Last Night in Montreal. It was originally published by a small publisher called Unbridled Books, and then as she achieved more fame in her career, she now publishes with a larger publishing house. She is best known for a more contemporary work, dystopian, beautiful literature called Station 11 that won many awards. But I still have a particular fondness for Last Night in Montreal, her debut. When I think of her novel, I think about Montreal train stations. I think about bundling up in a warm coat. The story is full of intrigue and mystery. She is able to weave together seemingly disparate storylines and character studies, and they all come together in just these fascinating ways. But one of her descriptions of a Montreal night in the cold really, really evokes the actual reality of being there. He forced himself to leave the station, walking into the cold evening air. The street outside was all but deserted, urban in a way that reminded him of medium-sized cities everywhere, windswept plazas, hard angles of glass and concrete. Across the street, a low, anonymous glass tower reflected lights and sky. A few cars passed, boxy and random, and it took him a few minutes to recognize them as taxicabs. They weren't yellow. There was, in fact, nothing identifiable about them at all. This was a random remnant fleet, gray Toyota Tercels and old blue Valiants, boxy red Fords with failing mufflers, and squarish minivans with rust around the fenders, all with some variation on a taxi sign bolted to the roof. Emily St. John Mandel is so talented at dropping Easter eggs into the story. Sometimes you'll be reading and realize that 50 pages ago, she's made reference to the same suitcase, the same hotel, and you find yourself scrolling back through the pages. This is one reason why holding the physical book is so much easier than maybe reading on an e-reader, an audiobook in this case, because you're just so curious to know what happened and how it got to where she is now. If you like traveling through fiction, all of her stories would be excellent, but Last Night in Montreal is a great place to start. From Avid Bookshop in Athens, Georgia, this is Janet Geddes.
So where is Montreal headed? I mean, when I lived there and when my older sisters lived there before me, it was the place to go that, you know, Toronto was, even at that time, a little bit more expensive. But Toronto, you know, has always been sort of the behemoth in the room of Canadian cities. Montreal is kind of half the size, but also has clung to being its own place for so long and still clings to that through gentrification and through change. It's still an artist city. It still has relatively affordable rents and real estate pricing. It still has a heartbeat of that solidly French backbone that it refuses to give up. And for good reason. There's lots of anti-English language laws being enacted and sort of now put into effect, or they've been long on the books but never really enforced. And so we're seeing this push towards enforcement of those again. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't really know. And I mean, I have opinions on it. What I really want Montreal to keep is being such an international place that is, you know, so important. I don't know, to be so reflective of so many different cultures, with the backbone being the strong Quebecois Montreal or culture. And I think that's the future of it. You know, it's got amazing universities, Université de Montréal, it's got McGill, it's got Concordia, where I went. So it's, you know, Polytechnique, all those, and the Cégep system, and which is the sort of high school finishes at grade 10, 11, and then you go off to Cégep, which is kind of like pre-college, college, and then you go to university. And I think that those type of things mean a lot of youthful culture, a lot of artists, a lot of really interesting spread of things happening, great music culture. When you're talking about music culture there, you're just there's Arcade Fire and bands like that that have just really been seminal for so long, and they're still so identifiably Montreal. Cirque du Soleil is from Montreal. And still has their main campus there, though, you know, really mostly they're in Vegas and touring around. So it's just, it's that type of city. It's just got these economic engines of the arts that make it so important. The economic engine of the comedy festival is so important. The economic engine of the jazz festival is so important. The economic engine of tourism around Old Montreal is so important. But it's such an interesting place to go, and again, realize how utterly close it is. And going through customs is a breeze. If you go there a lot, you can always get the faster line systems, well, like global entry and things like that. But it is a breeze to fly into Dorval. It's a breeze to fly out of Dorval. So there's no excuse not to go there.
You've been listening to The Passenger. This is a production of iHeartRadio, created by Hugh Acheson and Christopher Hasiotis. We're produced and edited by Mike Johns. Our researcher is Jesslyn Shields, and Christopher Hasiotis is our executive producer. Special thanks to Gabrielle Collins, Crystal Waters, and the rest of the crew. If you like The Passenger, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people like you find the show. If you're a local and you want to let me know what I missed and where I should go on my next visit, or if you've recently been a passenger like me and want to share your experience, hit me up on Instagram and Twitter at Hugh Acheson. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, use the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks for listening.